Lecture 36, Epilogue.
And here we are at the last lecture in this course, The Prehistory of Humankind. The first part of this last lecture discusses the end of human prehistory during the European Age of Discovery from the 15th century AD onward. For in some parts of the world, prehistoric times ended in the 20th century. Then when we've talked about that, I'm going to summarize what I think to be the four major chapters of human prehistory. The archaic world, the appearance and spread of modern humans, the origins and spread of food production, and the development of states. This is what has provided the framework for the narrative in this long course. And then finally, I'm going to talk a bit about the importance of an understanding of human prehistory in today's world, the contribution that it makes to our comprehension of diversity among humanity, of the ways in which we are similar and different. The final chapter of human prehistory began with the European Age of Exploration. With the rounding of the Cape of Good Hope, which started in a series of voyages, started in the 1530s by Prince Henry the Navigator of Portugal, who sent his caravels ever southward, around Africa, around the Bulge, and then in 1488, Bartolomé Diaz rounded the Cape, and the route to India was open. And of course, it continues with Christopher Columbus's journey to the Indies and the European discovery of the Americas. And after that, for five centuries, an increasingly elaborate and industrialized Western civilization clashed with a multitude of non-Western societies, many of them still living in the ways they had lived in ancient times in all parts of the world. This clash of cultures, as it is sometimes called, has witnessed the inexorable destruction of hundreds of subsistence-level societies, hunters and gatherers, herders, farmers, and others. As we know from Aztec accounts of the Spanish conquest and from oral traditions recorded in other parts of the world, often the people visited by Europeans thought that the strange visitors were gods. But all too soon, and wherever they appeared, the strangers proved all too quickly not to be deities, but also to be human, aggressive, warlike, and acquisitive. And really one of the most telling comments of this is the Spanish conquistador Bernal Diaz, who was a young man, sailed with Cortes, and was with him when they looked down in the valley of Mexico at the glittering city of Tenochtitlan, the Aztec capital. And in his 70s, Diaz wrote this extraordinary essay on his experiences, on the context. And he described how the conquistadors were amazed at the sight of this dazzled, brightly painted city, and wondered if it was all a dream. And then he ended this lyrical description with one sentence. But now all that we saw then has been destroyed. And that epitomizes the clash of cultures. At first, the contacts were fleeting. But soon Europeans came in larger numbers to trade for furs and seek for gold, to refit their ships or to convert the heathen. And then in many places, a flood of land-hungry colonists soon followed the first visitors in search of farming land and new homes, escaping poverty at home. Almost inevitably, the indigenous population, once direct descendants of once flourishing prehistoric populations, lost their land, which had been vested in many cases in the same kin groups for centuries. Within a few generations, they were either assimilated into the newcomers' society, where they almost always lived on the margins, or preserved a shadow of their former life on remote, marginal lands.